Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
The following is a paid program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the opinions of the management of this station or Hamel Broadcasting. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Happy Hour, another edition of Such with Jonna Spilbor, Carol Pesci. This fella, some call me Frankenberry, some call me other names that you can't say on the air. And we are back with, like I said, another show. A lot of those names, by the way, have Franken in the beginning of them and then something added. That's the something that we can't repeat. Mm-hmm. But we do have a guest today who is a return guest, but she has a brand new book.
Yes, I'm excited to talk with Judy Holler today. She was on the show a couple of years ago. She's the author of Fear Is My Homeboy, awesome book, and she's just recently released Holler at Your Dreams, which Judy Holler, that's her last name, and in the subhead, Frankenberry, isn't too long, Dangerously Inspiring Ideas for the Wildly Dope Soul. And the entire premise of this book, I'm really enjoying it. There's snippets of poetry, there's bits of story, there's 365 different messages she has, so it's kind of a book you can leave on your side table and just flip open to a page. But it's all about gaining your confidence, enjoying your life more by being braver. And her core message is fear can be your ally. It's not going to go away. So don't think there's something wrong with you because you feel fear. It's how do you embrace it and act with purpose anyway, which helps you build a more rewarding and confident life.
And I will say, you know, she as well, we often have guests who publicly speak on our show. And we have a very good friend of ours personally, Heather Hansen, who used to be an attorney. And now she is a public speaker for a living. And I say to myself, that is my second best dream job. Could you imagine if you could just wake up in the morning, then you go, you jet to somebody jets you to some big corporation somewhere and you give a talk where everybody loves you and cheers. And then you get back on a plane and you leave and all of that is paid for. That's my second best dream job. My first best dream job.
Thanks for answering before I asked.
Yes, exactly.
Would be, and I've seen him live, and I don't, this is really my first best dream job. There's an author named, David Sedaris. And he's just like he's an essayist and he's very funny and he's related to that actress, Amy Sedaris. But anyway, he writes all these short story books and then he goes on tour and he stands on stage and he reads the stories to the audience. And it's, you know, it's almost like stand-up comedy, except he's just reading the stories from the book that you have probably already read yourself a couple of times. That is my number one dream job.
And he is very, very entertaining and a fantastic writer.
He's a fantastic writer. Yes. Oh, God. Yes.
Is that the guy you saw at the Bardavon?
Yes. Jeannie and I.
Yeah.
Jeannie and I went, oh, God. And it was just so good. And the whole time I said, this is my dream job. Now, I'm a ways away because first I got to write some books. Then I got to make sure that they're funny. Then I got to, you know. But, hey, maybe our guest today will help inspire me to do that.
Yeah, and you know, I haven't done it in a while, but I did take part of what he does and I incorporated it into my blog a little bit ago when I started doing audio versions of my posts.
I love that.
Yes.
You know, I kind of trailed away from that because it's a lot of work.
I know.
That's to do that. But part of it was me being a little bit lazy, I guess, because obviously I just said it was a lot of work and I stopped doing it. But no, I did I really enjoyed doing that, though, while I was doing it. And once I do have it edited and I listen back, I'm like, oh, I kind of like this. I need to get back to it.
Yeah.
Well, you have a great voice and you're a great writer. So you combine those two things. And I know Jonna loves to consume her books by listening. Mm-hmm. There's something said for your authentic voice delivering that thought and that emotion that while reading is great, that you add an element to it when it's your voice, and you can really, I think you can communicate more.
So true.
Yeah.
So true. Yeah, and then people get to know you more, and then it creates more of a fan base, and then it expands from there. I love that. So keep doing it, Frank and Barry. I know it's a lot of work, but.
Well, it's just the small minutia of editing, you know, voice that has, you know, because oftentimes it's not going to have music underneath, you know, so you're going to notice every mouth click, and I tend to be very anal about that stuff, and I have to get rid of them all. So
mouth click, mouth
click, and peacocks.
Yes, exactly. Some things of the sort. Yes.
Well, and that kind of leads into something else that this is not my well. Wow. Okay. I just connected what? Two dots that I did not
she's
know.
She's having a whole conversation with her own head, Frank. Very soon she's going to bring us all into it.
Sorry. Okay. So this is so funny, actually. So I wanted to tell you guys and also do a little shameless self-promotion that I am going to be speaking on stage, as a matter of fact, on November 5th at 6:30 p.m. at the Westchester County Center. I am going to be speaking live on stage with Megyn Kelly, Tucker Carlson, and one of the other contributors to the MK True Crime podcast that I am a part of. And I haven't spoken on stage, gosh, in a really long time. Now, I speak a lot on camera. I speak a lot in the courtroom, but I haven't spoken on stage. So I decided I need to get ready for this. And the first thing I needed to do was step on the scale. And the second thing I needed to do was decide that I need to lose 5 pounds before November 5th. So I'm like, okay, I know how to lose 5 pounds. I've lost 5 pounds before. I can lose 5 pounds. So part of what I'm doing to lose 5 pounds is
not eating.
Well, not eating. And when I do eat, I'm going to eat salad. And it just so happens that my mother makes this fantastic little vinaigrette, I guess, this little salad dressing that sometimes when I'm over at my parents' house and we're having a salad, that's what she makes. And I love it. You could put this on anything and it's going to taste really good. So I said to her, hey, I've got to lose 5 pounds. I can't get over to your house every day for dinner. So you have to send me the recipe for this little vinaigrette that you do so that I can emulate it.
Wait. Is that going to require a trip to the grocery store and you assembling something that kind of resembles cooking?
I knew you were going to say that. I said, self, I know Curly's going to come at me because this is almost like cooking, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of.
And then I thought, well, maybe Curly's going to come at me because who needs to ask your mother for a recipe for salad dressing? Like, who needs to do that? Like, aren't you born with the knowledge of what it takes to make a salad dressing? It's not like, you know, a big deal. But so I reach out to Nance and I say, hey, you got to send me the recipe for this salad dressing. And I have watched her do it a couple of times. So she's like, no problem. I'll text you the recipe. It's a piece of cake. It's so easy. Great. So she texts me the recipe and I knew what the ingredients were. So prior to that, I Instacarted them. I had all the ingredients. I just needed to know ratio and that kind of thing. She sends me the recipe. Last night, I'm making the recipe. When it dawns on me, she forgot a freaking ingredient in the recipe. Now, is that sabotage? How do you forget an ingredient in salad dressing? She's notorious for this. People have asked her for recipes all her life. Meatballs, meatloaf, ravioli, gnocchi. And she's like, oh yeah, sure, no problem. Here's my recipe. And every single time, she leaves something out. And then she's like, oh yeah, I forgot. Yes.
I think she only does that with you because if you get it perfectly right, you will come over for dinner less often.
I'm never going to get it perfectly right.
Listen,
never,
I'll ask her. She'll tell me the truth and then I'll let you know what's missing.
So luckily I figured out what was missing and I saved the day. You know, the salad did not go undressed. Luckily. But what a trick she's got going. What a game she's got going.
She's just protecting her interest there, Spielberg. That's all. That's her stuff.
It ain't trademarked. It ain't trade secret.
It is to her.
Yeah, I suppose. But so day one on this diet, I haven't lost any weight yet. But I'm going to check. I'm going to check multiple times a day because time's a waste and I only got a couple weeks.
Well, you know what'll help is if you take a couple of the cats, hold them when you step on the scale, and then put a couple of the cats down, and then you can trick yourself.
Yes, I can do that. Although the other thing I did, and I didn't tell anybody about this
until now.
Dun dun dun.
I went just to get a consultation. I didn't do anything. I went to a local wellness center. And I inquired about...
AKA plastic surgeon, but...
No.
Oh, okay.
Peptides, AKA Ozempic, AKA...
Stop it. You are peptides. Tiny. You look amazing. Just stop it.
But here's the thing. Here's what I learned. A lot of people who need to lose a lot of weight are on Ozempic. They get Ozempic face. They get nauseous. They get all those terrible things. The trend is micro dosing. That's what I went to check out. The micro dosing.
Oh, thank you, Barry. I wish I could see your face.
It's so difficult sometimes to get the eyes back to the front of my head. It really is. But no, continue, please.
It's a trend. It's a wellness trend. And if you do any research, not just about weight loss, like believe it or not, there's a whole litany of these peptides. They're all peptides. And you can microdose a bunch of different peptides to live longer, make your cells regenerate, lose a little weight, anti-age, anti-stress, that kind of thing. You got to do a little homework on it. And it's not even that expensive. Now, I didn't sign up yet, although I think I am going to sign up for the electronic sit-up machine. I think I'm going to sign up for that. But because you have to inject yourself with these things, by the way, you guys. Peptides have to be injected. That's why they don't have me yet.
Yeah, that would be a reason why they would never have me. Holy cow.
What if you had to? What if you had, something that you needed to give yourself a shot every day or every week?
I guess I would die.
You'd have to do it. You'd have to do it. But it'd be hard. That's why I could never be a doctor. I couldn't give anybody a needle. I can't draw blood. I can't look if I'm getting blood drawn. I gotta like la 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 and look the other way.
Yeah, but you can tolerate pain really well.
I know, obvi, but I can't.
Frankenberry.
I can't administer the pain. I can just tolerate.
Is that
the
difference?
Yes. Hopefully, though, maybe, with my salad diet and my, one ingredient missing dressing, I'll be able to drop 5 pounds in a couple weeks because that's what I need to do.
Well, I'm sure you probably don't really need to worry about it that much because I think you would be fine, Jonna. I think, like Carol has said numerous times, you look fantastic. There is no worry there. You're just giving yourself reason to worry or possibly just giving yourself something to distract yourself with in the meantime before the event gets here.
No, I actually think sometimes, and I'm probably not alone, and currently you don't have to admit or deny, but sometimes being a woman, Frankenberry, you wake up and you look like you swallowed a small beach ball. You've done nothing different. You just look like you swallowed a small beach ball. And you're like, what happened in the night that I went to sleep looking like a normal person? And in the morning, I wake up looking like I consumed a whole watermelon.
Sodium or wine or both?
Oh, well, I mean, I don't go to bed without shooting my wine with a salt chaser. I mean, I do that from time to time. So wine can do that? Wine is doing that? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it will bloat, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, my God.
I mean, even I know that, and I don't drink wine.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. I just ruined her day, Frankie.
I know, seriously.
Does all alcohol do that or just wine?
I don't know, but your body's trying to flush it out. It's not like you're filling yourself with organic nutrients that are good for you.
You're ruining my life. I was totally planning on going on the salad and wine diet. That was the diet.
I'm sorry, pumpkin.
Oh, God almighty. Isn't that something? I guess I'm going to have to buy bigger pants because I ain't changing. I'm sticking with my salad and my wine. That's so funny. Speaking of that, and now it's all making sense because the other day I had to go, my mother, who also enjoys wine, there's a little wine and liquor store not far from her, and she likes to get her wine from there as opposed to, like, you know, a wine.com or whatever, because she likes to support small business. And so she bought wine. I had to go pick it up, and I'm talking to the owner, and here's a crazy statistic that he gave me. He said that his sales, alcohol sales in general, are down about 35%. But you want to know why? Not because people are, like, dieting or getting healthy. Like, you would think that kind of might be a natural. No, because people are opting for cannabis products instead of alcohol.
Wow. Yes.
I have not jumped on that bandwagon, but apparently it's a bandwagon.
That's interesting.
But that's something we probably didn't think about when we legalized the recreational marijuana. But, and because also, you know, now, like back when we were younger, you only smoked pot. Right now, you gummies, and it even comes in, I don't know, like almost like a mocktail type format. Like you can consume it other ways than smoking it, which makes it obviously easy to do wherever you are. And it's interesting too. And from, like, where I sit, right, as a criminal defense attorney, it's kind of, we are not, I'll tell you what's not up. DWIs are as they always have been. We're not getting a giant uptick in driving while ability impaired with a drug. And you would think, right, if that's what people are doing more of, that would naturally happen. And I think part of the reason why it's not is because it's not as easy to test for.
That's what I was just going to ask you. So how would a cop know that?
So here's what they do. And it's not like, you know, alcohol, obviously easy. You blow in a breathalyzer. That's the most common form. You can also take blood. With a drug, you can only detect it right now in this state with a blood draw. And there are some other signs, like drug recognition experts that they'll put you in a dark room and then they'll flip the light on and they do other things that they can physically see some symptoms, but that doesn't tell you what's in your body at all. Only blood will do that. So I think people might be getting stopped. And if they blow zero on a breathalyzer and they don't have access to make blood draw, some people might be able to not get charged. And if you're, you know, doing the cannabis, doing the marijuana, and, you know, you're not getting arrested, I'm going to assume that's because you're not driving while you're on it. And I applaud you for that. Mm. So there, that's all my news. That's all my news that's fit to print.
And then we've gotten this far without talking about cats. How did that happen?
On purpose, because I don't want to bore people with my adorable little cute cat stories.
Are they cute now? Kittens officially at the cute age? Because you kept calling them ugly.
The kittens, by the time this airs, the kittens will be officially 8 weeks and a few days.
Probably the cutest they'll ever be.
Probably. And also, they're going to start getting out of the enclosure that I have them in. So decisions need to be made. But I got to tell you, it's hard. I keep thinking that, you know what? I can get a kitten. I can trap a kitten. In this case, birth kittens, and no problem. People are going to want to adopt them. It's going to be so easy. And then I look at them. I'm like, I can't give them up. How am I going to give them up?
Oh, no.
I can't. It's terrible.
Yeah, you knew that was going to happen.
She needs an intervention, Frank and Mary.
I can't. I ain't walking into her house. What are you kidding me? I'll walk out with a handful.
Yes, that's exactly why I want you to come over.
Oh, Jonna, that's a good one. Invite all the people you love and trust the most to come over for a quote-unquote cocktail party.
Yep.
And have a bunch of cat carriers ready.
Yep. Free cat carrier.
And this way, whoever you invite is somebody you would trust. And then, it was like the Oprah parting gift, right? You can just, here's your cat. Everybody gets one.
And you get a cat.
Yeah,
That's right. And instead of saying, and you've won a car, you just say, and you've won a cat.
That would be so great. And then I could keep tabs on them and know that they're happy and healthy. Good idea.
I think you got to go holler at those dreams.
Oh,
God.
Was a reach, but it works. It works.
Coming up after the break, we will be talking with Judy Holler, author of Holler at Your Dreams, Dangerously Inspiring Ideas for the Wildly Dope Soul. This is her second time on the show. Last time she was on was for her first book called Fear is My Homeboy. She's awesome. I'm looking forward to talking with her.
All right, that's what's on the way. Judy Holler is next with Jonna Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and myself, this fella here, on Happy Hour. Please come back with us.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And good morning, everyone, and welcome to Happy Hour again. Segment number two here, and segment number two, you probably know if you've listened to this show in the past, is that this is where we have our illustrious guests. And this is where I kind of step into the background because I cannot rate, I cannot compete, and I don't and I don't try, okay? But anyway, we have today with us a person whose last name is perfect with an exclamation point on the end of it, and I will let Carol go into an introduction.
Yeah, super excited to talk with our guest today. This is her second time on the show. Her name is Judy Holler, and she's a keynote speaker, poet, Frankenberry, a girl after your own heart.
Okay.
And she wears a ball cap. Oh, no. And a creative force on a mission to ignite courage and unlock human potential. She is the best-selling author of Holler at Your Dreams. This is her latest book just out that we're going to talk about today. And Fear is My Homeboy. Any girls listening, go check out that cover of that book. I mean, they're both amazing, but that hot pink, just got to love it. With clients like T-Mobile, Ford, and the Boston Red Sox, Judy fuses creativity with strategy to help organizations build cultures of courage, clarity, and self-trust. She brings 15 years of corporate leadership experience and improv training from the Second City to every stage she steps on. And if she didn't live in Scottsdale, Arizona, there's a decent chance I might stalk her. Judy, welcome to the show. Welcome back, I should say.
Holler. It's so good to be here. And it's so fun to be able to say that. And yeah, what a great introduction. Can you just follow me around life and walk me into every room?
Yeah. I like to bring the light and I like to give praise. So sure. Yes. I would be great in that role.
Snaps for that. You're already getting the poetry slam snap.
Great. So thanks for joining us. Before we get into the content, and I want to hear your backstory, why you wanted to write this book, I just wanted to tell you and our listeners, that, and if our listeners know this, John and I are both avid readers of self-improvement. I'd love to take on the wisdom of people who've gone down the path or can offer something to help us live better, happier. Your book is a work of art, Judy. It's like, I've never experienced anything like it where it's bringing me bits of wisdom. Well, I'm taking screenshots because, as I told you off air, my Kindle's so old I couldn't download the book. So I've been reading it on my iPhone and taking screenshots. It's filled with powerful nuggets of wisdom on having courage, the relationship we have with fear, and then you intersperse bits of poetry, bits of your own story, the graphics inside. It's just an absolute work of art on many levels, and just kudos to you for that.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. And, you know, I appreciate the sentiment, right? I do feel like it's a work of art, but I really wrote it to remind everybody that so are you, right? That we don't need to, I think we get to this place where we reach for so many things outside of us to make us feel more like us, when really it's always been inside. We just have to figure out how to listen and how to source that inner code to be the art, be the actual art we are, because we simply exist. And so I sort of had this book on my heart and in my soul, and it came from somewhere deep inside my bones to just remind people of that. And, you know, I'm just so proud of her. But yeah, she, you know, and I also think, you know, I wrote it in a way where it's, you know, grouped into these four different sections. And, you know, we can talk about if it feels relevant, but we start with pain. We move into peace, we step into our presence, and then we shift into new paradigms. And in those four sections are 365 original ideas on, really, I could have named this book 365 Ways to Be Brave, right? It's really a book on how to get the F out of your own way so you can stop overthinking, you know, stop doubting your dopeness, your greatness, move through uncertainty a little bit faster, and really recognize that perfection and this illusion of control is really just poisons pretending to be vitamins. And so I wanted to use poetry and art and story to really help people quickly get to the other side of fear, not conquer it, because you never will. You'll never holler at one dream if fear is not your homeboy. But how can I do that in a way that feels like the times? Because I think our attention spans are so short and time is limited. So I wanted to create something that felt a little bite-sized, but also packed a big punch from a bravery perspective.
And the backstory to that, and I reminded myself, because I've been reading your book and absolutely loving it. And I picked up your original book, Fear is My Homeboy, which I have in my home office, and was reading some from that too. The backstory is you show up and you're gorgeous and you're brilliant and you're successful and you're an amazing writer and you're out working with these huge companies. And yet, Judy, what births both of these books is you deal with anxiety and fear and insecurity. Mm-hmm. So can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah. So it's interesting. We just actually made an update to my website. You know, you've got to do these, you know, when you come to somebody's website, right? Certainly when you're in the keynote speaking business, it's like, who are you? What do you do? What's the problem you solve? What's the solution you provide? What's the transformation on the other side of your talk, right? All this stuff. And so I was talking to my team and we were trying to figure out, like, you know, how to pump some new oxygen into that. And so the first line is like, okay, so who are you and what do you do? And honestly, I said to my team, I'm like, who am I? I am a fraidy cat. I am a control freak and I am a perfectionist. So that is me, right? I am it. I am the work I create. I am scared of my shadow most days. I work with debilitating anxiety most days. And I have figured out how to master my fear, not be fearless, because I hate that word. I think if you were fearless, you would be either, you know, I think the only fearless people in the world are 5-year-olds and like sociopaths. So I think we need fear like in some capacity. And if you say you're not afraid, you're lying, or you are a sociopath, right? Like, so no, like there's like fear's good. It can sort of remind us, like, number one, danger, or remind us that we're on a path of change and growth and reinvention. Because if it felt comfortable all the time, you probably wouldn't have a pulse, or you'd be playing it way too safe. And so I have figured out how to master my fear, embrace change, and kind of turn mistakes into momentum. And now I use those skills, those six habits, my atomic habits, if you will, that I've developed over the years to help me do that. And I put them on keynote stages and in my books and in my content online to just like help people do the same. So yeah, like, I love that you pulled that out, because I am a fraidy cat. And I think that's our problem. I think fear, control, and burnout are costing organizations and people so much time, money, and energy, and our best ideas, because we're so afraid. People do not feel safe to move outside their comfort zone. And I get it. Last thing I'll say on this rant, I get it all the time. As a corporate keynote speaker, people are like, Judy, we're afraid to book you. I'm just going to be right. Like, you scare our people. You're a little too edgy. Like, oh my God, are you going to tell everybody to quit their jobs? I'm like, no. I'm going to remind people not to quit on themselves. But like, you see what I'm saying? I am dealing with it too. The misunderstanding of courage, and people are afraid to book speakers even these days that don't feel, air quotes, safe, because, oh my God, what if I get it wrong? And what if I lose my job? And what if it doesn't work? Okay, but what if it does? But what if it does? Right? And if we stay in the same box all the time, what will change? And don't we want our people to change and innovate and grow? But we're going to bring in the same corporate safe people we've brought in time and time again and do things the same way we've always done them, because that's the way we've always done them. So I'm just trying to find a way myself to use the tools that I use every day to help organizations, you know, get a little braver. And I'm taking a lot of my own advice on the regular too.
Well, and yes, you speak to organizations, but this speaks to every individual. And this seems to be a recurring theme. We had on our show a few weeks ago, I don't know if you've heard of Jill Shulman. She wrote The Bravery Effect, former Marine. Awesome.
Oh, she kind of reminds, check her out.
You remind me of her. And the thing is, we don't act out of fear because we don't feel confident, but then that creates a downward cycle, because the smaller and smaller you play, the less confidence you keep losing and losing and losing self-confidence. But then when you act in the face of fear, and that doesn't mean stupid, unresponsible action, but maybe, you know, perhaps action with purpose, that's something, there's something you want to do. And every time, even if it's a little thing, you do that, you start spiraling up and building your confidence. You become confident by action. And that's not one of your exact lines, but you say something very similar to that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the essence of hollering at your dreams. I was born with this verb. Like, that is the last name I was born with, like literally given that last name. And I only woke it up 2 years ago. Like I had had this like sort of like, you know, and I think that's why I wrote the book. I really, truly, if you ask me like why this book, like I lost myself. I lost it because, you know, and I wrote the book because people are like, what inspired you to write the book? I go, you want to know why I wrote the book? Because I was so uninspired. I was so bored. I was so like, who am I? And where am I going next? And like, I'm staring down the barrel of 50. I'm 49 years old. And I mean that with love. Like, I'm not dreading 50 by any means, but I'm like, woo, like something starts to shift when you become a woman of a certain age. Like, you get a swagger and a confidence and like, an even deeper sense of urgency to really look at yourself and say, what do I want the rest of this to look like? And am I doing it in my way? And I had this like inner knowing that this last name I was born with needed to be a part of the story. And so, you know, when I came up with the concept of hollering at your dreams, you know, it just felt so, it was like fear is my homeboy. It felt so me. And I think what's important to understand is that hollering isn't, to what you're saying here, like hollering isn't about being louder or going rogue or being a jerk just because you can. It's not about being louder. It's about alignment, aligning organizational or personal, you know, accountability with individual authenticity. There's a big self-leadership conversation that has to be had here. It's not about being louder. It's about being braver. It's not about quitting your job. It's about not quitting on yourself. It's not about more system. It's about more rhythm. It's not about what do they think. It's about what do I think. And it's not about chasing dreams eternally. It's about finally figuring out how to catch them. And we catch them with courage always. So I wrote this book to sort of, you know, honor all the things I have collected over the years to help me come back home to myself time and time and time again. Because every decade, every career move, every life change, every loss, every growth, you're gonna become a new version of yourself. And that's gonna feel really uncomfortable. So when we lose her, when we lose that person, how do we come back home? And this is sort of like Holler at Your Dreams. It's kind of like a manifesto and an oracle to help people do that bravely and confidently, and just remind them that they always hold the power.
Judy, this is Jonna. So I have a couple of questions, but one
of them is probably stupid.
One of them is very stupid. So I'm going to save that one for next.
There are no dumb questions.
Oh, just wait. So are you speaking in this book? Can we call it maybe a how-to for people who literally wake up, like, and maybe I speak from experience, right? I bet you every single person, especially women of a certain age, wake up one morning and they go, is this all they're freaking it? Is this it? Am I going to get up again? Am I going to be drinking my smoothie, going to the office, getting in the car, coming home, taking care of the 18 cats and then going to sleep? And then, oh, guess what? Tomorrow I get to wake up and do it all over again. But I'm so grateful. I'm grateful. I love it all. But do I really? Because I don't know. I like just the happiness just kind of like dissipates and you don't even know how to get it back. Yeah. Is this the person who needs to read your book?
Yes. Like, if you have lost your mojo and you are doubting your greatness.
I talk about that in the open. There's a section here. It says, as I flip the pages, I say, think of each idea in this book as an invitation to stop playing small, to stop fearing change, to keep your power, to trust yourself, to be yourself, to free yourself, to express yourself, and most importantly, to come back home to yourself. And it's a mixtape of thoughts, ideas, downloads, prayers, poems, serendipity, mojo, miracles, and reflections that have helped me move through debilitating anxiety, fear, jealousy, insecurity, anger, uncertainty, reinvention, and change. So I wrote this book because I literally lost my mojo. And I'm like, I needed to remember who the F I was. And so this is a mirror to help her, that person. I'm mostly for women. That's who I write for, to help her find herself.
Okay. And that makes perfect sense, because I think you speak to the world when you speak to that person. On a sort of separate but related note, and here's the stupid question. When a corporate, like, so you speak to corporations, but obviously this resonates with individuals as well. When a corporation reaches out to you to have you come speak to their group, are they saying, my people suck and I need somebody to help them not suck anymore? Or are they Why do they reach out to you to talk to the collective group of their employees?
Yeah, that is such a good question. What we are hearing is sort of versions of the same six challenges, like literally everywhere I go and in most of the conversations I'm having from a corporate perspective. And I do a lot of women's events inside of corporate. So for example, like Edward Jones or Bank of America or whatever is going to have a big women's initiative inside of their organization. And I do a lot of that stuff. But I certainly don't just speak to women, right? I think this impacts people, humans at large. So we're hearing versions of these. People are overthinking, they are overlearning, and they are underacting. Okay, we got a lot of sleeping giants. We got a lot of people phoning it in. We got a lot of people sleeping on their potential, right? We got a lot of quiet quitters.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Quiet quitter. Yeah,
anybody else an overthinker? Oh my God, welcome to like a day in my brain. So that's happening. There's a lot of fear around visibility and getting it wrong. Like if I speak up, if I wear this, if I go for the promotion, if I put my presentation idea at the board, out on the board table, like, is this going to work? Am I safe? Am I cool? Everybody wants me to be me, but can I really be me? Like, is it okay to wear pink? Is it okay to like wear the ponytail? Like people are like, is this okay? Right. So there's a lot of fear around visibility, which is making leaders not put themselves in the right rooms or speak up or present or really do it in an authentic, innovative way. There's a lot of, creativity and confidence are dipping because everybody's running on fumes. We're way too tired.
Yeah.
We're overworked.
Right.
Change, fatigue. Our brains have so many open tabs. The burnout is real and disconnection is everywhere. Courage is going to fix that, right? Coming home to self, no one can fix that but you. And last, leaders, our teams, these leaders, these organizations, everybody wants innovation. But we do not understand how to create the environments for it to thrive. People don't feel safe to take risks. And improv is all about that. How do we, like, no mistakes, only gifts, right? Like, how do we create environment? When did we become so afraid of our own shadows? I just had a conversation today with a bureau partner of mine. And they're like, Judy, we love you. I'm like, yo, why, we used to be so busy. Why aren't we as busy as we used to be, me and you? And she's like, honestly, and they're a more conservative bureau. And she's like, Judy, honestly, like the big trend we're seeing in the industry is all of our clients. And she, this is actual words out of her mouth. She goes, all of our clients want our safest choices because they are so afraid to mess up and get it wrong. Like they're going to be canceled or whatever. Right. Mm. And so now they're just like, okay, so what are we going to hire? Like, so that is like and that's going to require courage. And it doesn't mean that we go rogue or bring people in who are going to tell our people to do crazy poop. So it's not about going rogue. If, you know, there's self-leadership here. There's accountability, right? Like if you want to work in your pajamas and have purple hair and tattoo your face, you're probably not going to go work at Bank of America. You know, so we're not trying to get people, we're just don't quit on yourself and figure out who self is so you can find alignment. But inside corporate, those are the challenges. I mean, we want innovation and all of the and results, but we're not giving people, we're not creating environments where people feel safe to go do that. So that's when I kind of wake up, like these beasts inside of organizations, you know, to just sort of help them spin through that a little faster.
And that makes sense. And Frank and Mary, can we just pause here for a second? Because Judy, I feel like, did your mic change by any chance? Because you were sounding.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, I think we're okay.
I mean, we can hear. Yeah, I can hear her fine. But it was like she was on a good mic. And then that weird glitch happened.
Oh, wait, hold on. My mic just, I see what happened. Hello. I'm going to reconnect it here. The only thing I could think to do is put in my headphones here really quick, my like AirPod headphones to get like some sort of microphone.
I mean, we can hear you.
Here, I'm going to put my headphones.
Perfectly clear.
In. Yeah. Something's going on. This is not a Rode, but at least I have a microphone next to my mouth. This is sounding a little better.
And that is better. That is better. Yes.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. life is improv. None of us wake up with a script. And I think that is like a beautiful reminder and a beautiful point of the book. Like none of us wake up with a script. Anything can happen at any time. So if we can't control external forces, what can we control?
our internal ones. And I think this book is just a coming back home to just that concept in itself. Like, you are like, there is no Prince Charming coming. He's probably chosen another house. And take Prince Charming as like an overall generalization, right? Of like the things that we think are going to save us, right? And fix us. And really at the end of the day, no one can fix. You don't need another permission slip, right? You just need to like look in the mirror and light a freaking match and remember who the F you are. And so I just want to like wake up that human potential inside of people. Like, I'm just here to wake up the beast. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's like the new mission. And if my last name can help me do that, holler at that.
Judy, you are amazing. I love your energy. I wish we could keep going. We are wrapping up here with Judy Holler, motivational speaker, author, entrepreneur. She's the author of Fear is My Homeboy and most recently, Holler at Your Dreams. Judy, if people wanted to buy your books, learn more about you, hire you maybe there's a business owner, executive listening, how do they do that?
Oh my gosh. Well, Judy, J-U-D-I. Holler, H-O-L-L-E-R is my website. So that's where all my good information lives. And then my book is available wherever you love buying books, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, all the places. Audiobooks coming online in Q1, by the way. So I'm really excited to get into the lab on that. But yeah, you. Would love to connect with anyone who's interested in learning more. So holler at that.
Love your energy, love your wisdom, and love your passion for what you're doing. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us, for putting all your love, energy, effort into the books for the benefit of the rest of us.
Big hugs. Feelings are mutual.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much there, Judy. And we've still got more of the show to come. Segment number 3 is on the way. It's Shauna Spillboard, it's Carol Pesci, and this guy. We'll be back.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
Hello again and welcome back one more time to Happy Hour. Here, Jonna Spillboard, Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Frankenberry.
Well, it was nice to have Judy Holler on again and talking about her new book. And boy, she makes me tired just listening to her. You know what I'm saying? She's got it's like abounds. A good use of the word abounds right now. Yeah. Her energy.
I guess I'm going to say part of that may come from, a strong cup of coffee, but I'm going to say primarily a passion for her message.
Mm-hmm.
She wants so much to share what she believes will help others live better, happier, more confidently, more fuller lives. And you can feel that. You can feel that in her writing as you're reading her book, and you can certainly feel it when you listen to her.
Oh, God, yeah. But it's inspiring. Even if you didn't understand English, you would be inspired. I'm serious. Just by listening to her, and it's so genuine. Her tone, her energy is and I love
yeah.
that. And she speaks to major big corporations. Like, what's on her website? Because I didn't ask her. I mean, I know she speaks, she's kind of like a corporate speaker primarily, but what corporations are we talking about?
T-Mobile, Bank of America, Ritz-Carlton, Ford, Boston Red Sox.
The Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, well, just a bunch of the smaller players is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, okay. Tiny. That is so cool. And she called herself out because I was going to call her out that it's not on audio yet. Cause that's how I get, but she said that's going to happen in Q1. So that's not that far away.
Yeah. And I was telling her off air that I think I need to shop for a new Kindle.
I was going to say, how old is your Kindle that you
it's a Paperwhite. And the reason I hang on to it is it's so tiny and light.
Oh,
And this is the first time, so I tried downloading her book on Kindle so that I we both like to read at least a good part of somebody's book before they come on so we can have an educated conversation with them. And her book has so many graphics and color and stuff in it that not compatible with my little Paperwhite Kindle. So I have to download the book and use the Kindle. Do, but I don't hardly use my iPad. So I downloaded it and used the Kindle app and was reading the book on my little iPhone, flipping it back and forth. I know.
That's work.
Not going to do it.
But she's great. Yeah. And I'm serious. When she does come to town, we've got to, and we should do that more. We always say that we're going to do it with our guests. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them, I think we just have so much in common with it. It would be a good time.
Yeah. She's fun. Great energy.
Like us.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, to Judy Holler, thank you again for stopping by again with John Spilborn and Carol Pesci and myself, this fella they call Frankenberry. And we'll be back again with another show next week. So please tune in again then. And until then, have a nice week. Make it a safe one.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with John Spilborn and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.